We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. In this half hour, we will be interviewing Asher LePayton from the JCRC AJC. There was a major call to action against anti-Semitism this last week, and we're going to, the AJC was one of the organizers. We're going to talk with him about that. In the second half hour of the show, we'll be talking about the Parsha of the week, which is Shlach. This is a good biblical story stuff. Can be found in the book of Numbers, chapter 12 and following. We got some really good music throughout the show, all new stuff. A wonderful Hasidic story at the end. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel opened border crossings along the Gaza border to allow food and humanitarian aid to cross. Gazans requiring medical attention in Israel are being allowed to enter Israel. Three suspects were arrested for disorderly conduct, weapons possessions, and assaulting officers in an attack in Jerusalem. An IDF soldier and a bystander are in moderate condition following a stabbing attack in Jerusalem. The female terrorist was shot and killed. In acts of anti-Semitism this week, we could devote the whole show to it, 267 acts of anti-Semitism were reported in Great Britain over the past 17 days. 151 of them came after the May 20th ceasefire. Two teens were attacked by a mob in Brooklyn. The teens were saved by a Muslim Uber driver. A man was attacked by a pro-Palestinian mob in Times Square. A rock was thrown through the front door of a synagogue in Tucson, Arizona. Luca Lewis, a 20-year-old professional soccer player who plays for the New York Red Bulls, was threatened in New York City by men holding knives who asked if he was Jewish and was told that they would kill him if he said yes. And Canada has not been immune to the uptick in violence against Jews. Rocks were thrown through windows at the Israeli consulate in Montreal, and Jews were attacked in Toronto, Calgary, and Winnipeg. In other news, a federal court struck down Georgia's anti-BDS law, which prohibits companies with state contracts to boycott Israel. The case will now be presented to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in the sport, Israel's Anastasia Gorbenko won gold in the women's 200-meter individual medley at the European Games with a world record time of 2 minutes 10 seconds. And finally, and we can just finally say finally, Israel opened its borders to tourists this week. Groups of up to 30 are now being let in. People must be fully vaccinated and have COVID antibodies. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have Detroit's own Rabbi Asher LaPatin from the JCRC AJC. We'll be talking about, there was a call to action against anti-Semitism this last week, which was organized by five major Jewish organizations, American Jewish organizations, and was a quite successful program, and it's worth a follow-up to see what the upshot of it all was. So without any further ado, welcome Asher LaPatin to the Jewish Hour. How are you today, Asher?
Thank God I'm doing well, and it's good to be here on this rainy day in Detroit.
Indeed. Well, we like the rain. Rain is good. Okay. It's worse if it doesn't. Okay, so we said there were five organizations, but before we go to the five organizations, what, for people basically living in caves, what mm-hmm. was the impetus behind this major push to have this call to action?
Well, over the last couple of weeks, there's been a major increase in anti-Semitic acts of violence, vicious violence in the United States, from L.A. to New York to Chicago, and destruction of Jewish property, of some synagogues, graffitis and all sorts of issues, and all stemming really from unrest in the Middle East and a lot coming from post-protests. Anti-Israel protests, but it's something that needs to be, we need to stand up to it, and we need to stop it. We just cannot tolerate it. You know, and there has been, over the last few years, there's been a rise in anti-Semitic actions and a lot of stuff on the internet from the right. A lot of white separatists or white nationalists or neo-Nazis, fascists. But we're seeing this is specifically what I would describe from the left, and this is a real problem. And it's, it should not be that being a Zionist or being a proud Jew is an issue in the United States in 2021.
Okay, we did have Carolyn Normandin, the head of the chapter of the ADL, in a couple of weeks, and we're talking about right-wing anti-Semitism, the rise thereof. And here now we're talking about left-wing. And I'm reminded of, it was done in tongue-in-cheek, but there was, like it says in the Talmud, that every joke has some truth to it. There was a song in 1964 by Tom Lear called National Brotherhood Week.
I love it. My parents loved him.
The song went, oh, the Protestants hate the Catholics, and the Catholics hate the Protestants, and the Hindus hate the Muslims, and everybody hates the Jews. Right. And we actually had a Jewish Ferndale before COVID. We had a panel discussion of some pretty mm-hmm. erudite scholars talking about being stuck between right-wing extremism and left-wing extremism. And now, so from the point of the JCRC, which is an organization that you represent, mm-hmm. is there really any difference in the ramifications of right-wing anti-Semitism versus left-wing anti-Semitism? That is a really existential question.
Well, I'm glad you use that term extremism, because the truth is, for the most part, I think the Jews are all the polls show we're the most beloved religious group in America, actually. So and that's a lot of, when we get to talking about yesterday's program, a lot of it was how much people love Jews and uh-huh. and care about Jews.
My mother would say, don't love me so much.
I know. Yes, exactly. Just pick me up at the airport.
Yes.
The truth is, it's hard to say. And you can ask people which is more dangerous. Frankly, if you watch Fox News or OAN or Newsmax, you'll think that left-wing extremism and wokeism and cancel culture are more dangerous. If you watch MSNBC and CNN, then you'll see January 6th and insurrectionists and kind of right-wing dangers. So it's hard to say. I think a lot of it actually depends on whether you think that what's more dangerous for America, So if you think one of them is more dangerous for America, then you'll think that kind of anti-Semitism is worse and more dangerous. And if you, so that's, it's interesting how it gets all wrapped up together in this. But any kind of anti-Semitism needs to be protested and needs to be snuffed out and needs to be opposed.
Okay. I don't know if you heard the, we were listening, if you were already online when I did the news section before, but I do every week for the last, I don't know how long it is, just this week's acts of anti-Semitism as reported in the news. And as it comes out, Canada has suddenly woken up. It's like, this is our friendly neighbor to the north where everybody like gets along with each other and they all play hockey and they go curling, et cetera. And they, they eat bacon and salmon and whatnot. And everybody just loves each other. And in Canada, there's this major uptick of violence. We're not talking people just like hate it, you know, like cursing at each other or epithets and whatnot. But we're talking rocks thrown through buildings and people getting beat up. And we're talking about through the whole breadth of Canada. So is it now? So can we? This has always been the rhetoric. I remember Ahmadinejad saying, I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm anti-Israel. I love the Jews in Iran. They know how to act like Jews.
No.
Or they know how Jews are supposed to, if you remember the line, the statements right. that he was doing. So can we separate anti-Israel? Can I say, I don't like what Israel is doing, but I happen to like all those people who live in Israel?
No, I think there's a big problem. I think if you're anti-Zionist, meaning you're against the right of the Jewish people to have their own homeland, then you are anti-Semitic. You might not realize it. And so, you know, I'm friendly with a lot of people that are probably anti-Semitic because they are not Zionists and they don't believe in the right of the Jews to have their homeland in Israel. And so it's a little bit like sort of some of the racist, when we talk about who's a racist and what is a racist and white fragility and all that. And, you know, some people could be racist and really nice people and not even realize it. So likewise, I do subscribe to the IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism. That is that if you are against the right of the Jewish people to have their own state, their own homeland, like every other people in the world does, that is anti-Semitic. Maybe I would say, you know, you're espousing something that's anti-Semitic, whether you are an anti-Semite. Again, I think there are people that say we love Jews and we'll stand up for Jews, but we're against Israel and Zionism. But, yep, I'm sorry to say that is anti-Semitism.
Okay.
And we're seeing it spill over, of course, right? So we're seeing people attacking people, not just, are you a Zionist, but they're saying, are you a Jew? So we're really seeing that definition in action work, you know, unfortunately, you know, being concretized on the streets.
Okay. Should we be surprised that there is anti-Semitism, Asher LePayton?
No, I mean, in some ways, yes. Because, like, you know, the Jews have given are giving so much to the world. And Israel is such an incredible country of diversity. Arab Israelis, Palestinian Israelis are economically the best, one of the best groups in Israel itself, doing a lot better than many Jews in Israel are doing economically and all over. Actually, I mean, people know the West Bank, the economy has grown tremendously since 1967. So anywhere, it should be surprising, like, why are people so anti-Jewish? But that's a question that's been asked for centuries and centuries, and it just does not go away the nicer we are, the better we are, the more we do for people, or the more we assimilate. It doesn't go away. I'm not saying I think we should be nice and be good and work hard and contribute to the culture and the world and the society. I'm into Tikkun Olam, but that's not going to alleviate anti-Semitism. Okay. What I am hoping, I'll say, what I'm hoping is that working relationships with individuals, with Muslims, with African-American partners, Hindus, that maybe will help at least build alliances to protect us against anti-Semitism. But I don't think we're going to eliminate it. No.
Okay. Our guest today is Asher Lopatin, who is the director of the Detroit chapter of the JCRC. AJC, if you don't know what the alphabet soup is there, it's the Jewish Community Relations Council, the American Jewish Committee. And so, okay, so there was a call to action this last Thursday. Organized. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the organizations that were behind this call to action.
Well, you know, I was very impressed that the main organizations, the ones, you know, the usual suspects, the ADL, the American Jewish Committee, AJC, Hadassah, some of the great, venerable Jewish organizations, Jewish federations in North America. So, but also the Orthodox Union, and actually added to that, because I saw at the end, all the religious streams were part of it, including constructionist, conservative, and reform. So it was nice to see people coming together that don't always work together institutionally and saying, no, you know, this is what we have to stand up for, and we're going to come together to fight anti-Semitism. We're going to put aside any of our politics. And actually, I don't want to be able to plug, but next Sunday, a week from this Sunday, there's going to be a rally in West Bloomfield and at noon, Orchard Lake Road and Northwestern Highway. And there, too, groups are coming together. Our JCRC AGC is co-sponsoring with the ZOA, with NCJW, and with Hadassah. And we all have our own political leanings, but to fight anti-Semitism, we got to come together. So I was impressed with just all those organizations coming together yesterday, even if it was on Zoom.
Okay. And so what was the nature of this this call to action? How was, tell us the format and the participants. Yes. It was actually quite an impressive group of participants.
Yeah, very impressive. It was some celebrities. It was leaders of a lot of organizations, the Urban League, which is an African-American organization. It was a lot of very brief speeches by a lot of people, but very inspiring. Really, it was I think it strengthened us and it made us feel better that we have friends. We have friends all over. There were, you know, people again from different nationalities and African Americans and white Americans. And there were some touching moments also by some celebrities. Nick Cannon, he's great. You know, he's a year ago there were all these issues with anti-Semitism, and he's really turned a corner and learned about it, and he's a great spokesperson against anti-Semitism. And then there was a wonderful actress. I wrote her name down, Erin, but I forgot her last name. Very famous, Erin Foster, who really can't. I mean, she was for me the most important. She said that she converted. She was very personal, mostly for her husband. Kind of, she converted to Judaism, but she never felt so Jewish and so connected to Israel than the last 2 weeks. And I like the enemies of Israel, the enemies of the Jewish people, to know that, you know, with all this stuff on the internet and social media and everything and protests, when we see the state, the land that we love and the people that we love attacked, it's going to make us stronger. It's going to make us more Jewish and more connected to Israel.
Okay. So tell us the significance. I was like really blown away by people like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi being present on this. And this, what's the significance there?
Oh, of course, you know, because the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, everyone, they're very strong on Israel and they're very strong on, of course, fighting anti-Semitism. I mean, I remember Nancy Pelosi at an AIPAC conference, you know, tearing up she was memorializing an AIPAC leader who passed away. And, you know, we should know that there are extremists. There are those that, you know, are way, I think they're misguided, but they're really in the Democratic Party and on the left that are not as pro-Israel as they should be. But the bones of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party is very pro-Jewish and pro-Israel. And it's really good to, we have to constantly remind ourselves about that. Even some of the, not just, the Nancy Pelosi's and the Steny Hoyers, but, the young folks also, some of the young, some young African-American members of Congress that are coming through that are just fantastic and very amazing spokespeople for Israel. So we have to, it was good. The whole rally was really to remind ourselves, look, you know, people are standing with us and they have our back. We have to, Jews have to step up and be strong. But we have a great group of people all over and in a bipartisan way that support us and support Israel.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask a question, which is just like absolutely begging itself. You mentioned, you kind of mentioned in passing, but people are asking, what about the progressive element of the Democratic Party, the Rashida Tlaib, the AOCs, the Bernie Sanders? Rashida Tlaib was interviewed this last week on a program on WDET, which is a PBS affiliate in Detroit.
Yeah.
And it was filled, the guy was just throwing softballs at her, and it was filled with vitriol. And it was like, I couldn't, I heard about, someone said, you got to listen to this. I heard about 3 minutes and I had to turn it off. So what about that aspect of the, that the progressives, the Democratic Party, and they're identified as the progressive of the Democratic Party, Asher Lipton?
Yeah, well, look, both parties have their people, you know. The Republican Party certainly has their, you know, people talking about the face mask and the Holocaust. And, yeah, I think Rashida Tlaib is, you know, we actually work with her as an organization and her office. There are a lot of issues that we need to partner on, and we work with all members of Congress. And I must say that her office has been very gracious to us. But on this issue, you know, she's just very sadly misguided. You know what? It's sad because it's harmful for Palestinians. You know, thank God Israel is strong, and I think Israel is growing and prospering, and they have more peace partners. And Jews in America, Kanai Nahar, are strong, and, you know, we have to stand up a little bit more. But, you know, I hope, I think we'll be okay. But the Palestinians are suffering from Hamas, and they're suffering from the corruption of the PA. And even, sadly, I'm reading an article, Palestinians in Israel, Israeli Palestinians, are suffering from Arab crime and you know, organized crime in their cities. So that's what we have to. Who is speaking up for the Palestinians? They're just speaking up for Hamas and all the people that are controlling them. So I feel so sad when I hear Rashida Tlaib talking about all these things, because it does no good for Palestinians, really no good for Palestinians. BDS does no good for Palestinians. And they're fooling themselves if they think that they are helping. So, yeah, you know, we have radicals all over. And, you know, President Biden, I think he's done a great job, and he's really trying to balance everything. And he, you know, said some very nice words about Rashida Tlaib, Representative Tlaib. And then he did what he needed to do. He sent the missiles, you know, whatever, $700 million worth of rockets and missiles that Israel needs to Israel. So I think, you know, we should learn from Biden. Really learn from Biden that there's a lot of good people out there that are saying a lot of nasty things, and we have to stand up to it. We can't let it, you know, push us aside, but we can't just let it, we can't obsess about the Representative Rashida Tlaib or even the Bernie Sanders. And I realize these people have some power, have some control. We have to really, I think, get out there and be supportive of the Nancy Pelosi's and the President Biden's. So that's sort of my approach to it.
Okay, so now this function was called a call to action, which people did a lot of speaking, but in, there's a saying from the Medrash, from Pirkei Avos, that words aren't the main thing, actions are the main thing. So what was suggested to be the result of this call to action, Asher Lipton?
Well, okay. You know, I think there was a call to action to send a letter to your member of Congress to write about it, so the thing, an act against anti-Semitism. I mean, my organization, the JCRC and the AJC, worked very hard to pass the No Hate Act that also helps fight hate crimes like anti-Semitic crimes that just passed. So I what I would say. And I think our federation in Detroit did a great job of publicizing it and also following up. And you can click and you can go to our jfmd.org and continually get updates and stay informed. I think things like Action, I hope people come to this rally next Sunday, a week from Sunday at noon at Orchard Lake and Northwestern, and show up and be there. And, you know, I think there's going to be a discussion about how people can counter some of the terrible messaging on social media and more of a strategy. I think that there needs to be a combination of Jews being out there and being proud. Wear your kippah. You know, we said that after Pittsburgh and Poway. You know, be proud. Wear your kippah. Wear your Jewish star. You know, don't put it away. No, be proud. And also, I hope, be proud of Israel. Like, visit Israel. I mean, it's still tough to visit Israel. But when it opens up, you know, get there, stay connected, and be inspired by what's going on in Israel. For me, one of the most inspiring things is the coexistence, the work that Arabs and Jews are doing together in Israel. And in fact, we helped pass legislation for bills that help Palestinians in the West Bank work with Jewish business people in Israel and in Judea and Samaria, and really to grow together. So partnership, reaching out, being proud of being Jewish. And I'll say one other thing, if I could, and that is, step out of your neighborhood. Like, go to Detroit. Go walk around. Be a presence in other neighborhoods. Don't just stay in your neighborhood where you are. Reach out to a Christian friend, to a Chaldean friend, to a Hindu friend, and talk about this. And, you know, try to be more connected. There's a wonderful synagogue in Southfield, Young Israel Southfield, which is a mixed community where the rabbi is really encouraging people to, you know, connect more to your African-American, your non-Jewish neighbor. And so that's what I would hope. Our pride and our love for Israel and love for being Jewish gets us not to crawl up in a hole and be, you know, in our cave, but to come out with pride and with love and create the allies that I think can help us fight anti-Semitism.
Okay, that's wonderful. Again, so give us the details for this rally with dates and times, please, Asher.
Yes, great. So thank you so much. It's at noon. A week from this coming Sunday, so that's June 6th, and it's going to be
at noon.
Parking is great. It's right in there's like a mall of the Kohl's shopping center, which is right there. You'll park your car and walk. There's a nice grassy area that faces the highway, faces Orchard Lake, I think. And it's sponsored again by Hadassah, by NCJW, by RJCRCAJC, and by the ZOA. And it's not political. It's not a bunch of speeches. It's just being there, fighting anti-Semitism. Hate is hate. Am Yisrael Chai. We are there just showing a presence that we're not going to cower to this. If you could come, I think that'd be a wonderful. It's a message of peace. It's a message of love. It's a message of being proud of who we are.
Indeed. Okay, that's going to wrap it up. Our guest today has been Asher Lopatin, who is the director of the Detroit chapter of the Jewish Community Relations Council American Jewish Committee. We've been talking about the call to action, which was organized by 5 major American Jewish organizations, and I hope that it will lead indeed to positive actions, Rabbi Lopatin, and I hope that we can come back and next time report some really good news.
Please God, please God. I'm heading for Israel next week. So
wonderful.
I'll have good news, hopefully.
Send my regards. Okay, that's going to do it for us.
Take care. Shabbat shalom.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-4800.
6249800. That's 6249800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got some time for some music. In fact, we got a lot of time for some music. The artist is fairly new. His name is Yonatan Razel. He is from Israel. The song he's singing is called David, as in King David. Let's listen.
Kam bachatzor Dav bakino nogo Satayim lo chesho David Yudea nagin Yudea gam lehilachem Adin vegibor David avdi silahem leolam leolam gagui 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 roe בכל עוז אביא גילה דרכי תשובה עם שירי זמן חזור ממהרה
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Listening to The Jewish Hour. Up next, this is a really cool klezmer song. This was actually recorded on May the 13th, 2021. This is the Moritz Weil Klezmer Orchestra of Austria, Klezmer Trio of Austria, and this is called Hanga, which I have been playing Jewish music for 26 years now going on, and there's certain things, I just don't know what they are. One of them is a hanga. The other one's a bulgur. But these are different things that they play. And so this one's a hanga. So if you know what a hanga is, honk me a horn over here and drop me a line at rabbifinman.com. Let me know what a hanga is. But let's listen. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. We got time for one more. This is a brand new group. They're an a cappella group, and I usually do not play a cappella when it is not a cappella season, which we just finished, and we'll have another one coming up in a couple of weeks. So I usually reserve them for them, and if I decide to play this one again then, well, it depends on what else is available to listen to. But this came out just now. The group is from Israel. It's called Rabotai, which means gentlemen. And this it's a parody. It's the wedding procedure done to the tunes of Lion King. Hey.
אני מרחובתם ונערים ממשתה נגינתם
כל ששון וכל שמחה
שמחה
כל חתן וכל קלה כל מצהלות חתנים מרחובתם
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community. And Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Hey, Schultzman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week, we'll be reading in the synagogue the portion of Shlach. It is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 12 and following, and details the story of the spies. Not despised, like I despise you, but the story of the spies. We may come to despise the spies, but that remains to be seen. That's up to your own personal opinion. There are all kinds of spins on this story. And as just a brief overview, Moses sent spies to spy out the land of Israel and that they should be able to know how to enter it and what they're getting into. And they came back with a really bad report. The Jewish people said, oh, woe is us. We can't go to Israel. God got mad. And they spent the next 40 years wandering around the desert until that whole generation passed away. And the new generation was therefore allowed to go into the land. The portion is actually called Shlach Lecha. Send for yourselves. Send for yourself. What was the deal? Moses, the Jewish people came to Moses. We're supposed to go to Israel in 3 days. Okay, good. What are we getting into? We don't know what the country's like. We're going to go in blind. We're going to be able to get massacred. That's what's going to happen. People know the land. It's like wars on home turf. It's usually we're going to give a home field advantage. That's where the expression really comes from. Not so much in a baseball game, because it really doesn't matter if you're yelling yippee for your guy or not. But if you look through the annals of history, the people who were being attacked on their home front usually didn't do all that bad. You have, for example, the Maccabees versus the Assyrian Greeks, for example. You have the, let's do something more, a little bit more modern. You have the Finns versus the Russians. You have the Afghans versus everybody. The Vietnamese versus the Americans. The Americans versus the Brits in the Colonial Revolution. So there is something called home team advantage. So the Jews said, we don't want to go blind. We want to send reconnaissance. So the Almighty, so Moses, not Moses is just a middleman. He's just like the diplomat. He's the ambassador. So he goes to the boss. Boss says, What? Going in blind? I know what's doing. And besides, you guys are going to go in and I'm going to do the battles. You got nothing to worry about. It says way back in chapter 25 of the book of Exodus that God says, I'll send wasps ahead of you, which is okay if you're standing in a suit of armor and you've got this big sword and you're suddenly attacked by a swarm of wasps, not going to help. So God said, I got a little tiny creature, a wasp. That's good enough right there. But the Jews said, so Moses came back and said, God said, we don't need to send spies. The Jews went, what? What are you talking about? Don't need to send spies. We need to send spies. So Moses went back to God and said, the Jewish people are really demanding spies. So at this point, God says to Moses, Shlach lecha. You want spies? You send spies. Which generally is interpreted as, let's see how this goes if I'm not in favor of it. Okay, but everything in the Bible is positive. It was, you'll be sending spies for yourself. Because what happened? Yeah, the Jewish people had to spend 40 years, actually 38. They're already 2 years in the desert. So they got 2 years off for good behavior already. So we call it 40 years in the desert. True. But what happened was, is that group of people got to spend 38 years with Moshe. Because it had already been decreed, with the golden calf, Moses isn't going in. So if they went right away, leaving Mount Sinai, which happened in last week's portion, which we talked about last week, on the 20th day of the month of Iyar, arriving at the border on the 23rd day of Iyar, crossing the Jordan at the 24th day of Iyar, or maybe not, Moses would have died the 24th day of Iyar on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, a month later, almost a year after the giving of the Torah, they would have crossed the Jordan, led by Joshua. But like this, which would have had its advantages, I'm not saying not, but like this, what were the Jewish people? They were nascent at best. What did they know about Judaism? They were rookies. They had the Torah for a year. Who's going to tell them what to do? You're doing it this way. Don't do it that way. Do it this way. You're supposed to do it this way. It was like Shlach Lecha, Moshe. You're going to benefit from sending these spies, because then now your legacy as a Jewish leader of the Jewish people will be concretized. So now, what's that got to do with me and you in 2021? When we read the verse, Shlach Lecha. So the Almighty is, for all intents and purposes, doing the work. He's leading with the cloud, and you just got to follow the cloud, and he's fighting your battles. But you have to do it for yourself as well. We don't sit back. You have to put your finger into the cold water. You have to put your finger onto it. You have to get involved. And you have to see, wait a minute, where's the positive in this? The situation that I now found myself in, which is all because it's all between you and me, it's God's fault. I can say that unequivocally. I'll say that on the air. I'll say it from today until tomorrow. Whatever happened to you is God's fault. I mean, the ramifications of your actions, but now that it's happened, how am I going to turn the negative to a positive? That's Shlach Lecha, send for yourself. Speaking of for yourself, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we got a Hasidic story all the way at the end of the show. We're just flying by over here. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com. You'll find right on the homepage a way to contact me. You'll also find archived editions of the radio show. You'll also find media in which I present Judaism in an interesting and entertaining way in the form of written and video and audio presentations. And I put a lot of work into them and would appreciate you checking them out. And there's the very important donations page. The Jewish Hour has been on air for going into 26 years. 26 is the numerical value of God's name. So we're in God's year this year. And my mother used to say when she was mad at me, God help you. But God has. And God's help has come through you. For 26 years, we've been sitting here at the end of the show saying we can only be here because of people like you. Supporting the Jewish Hour not only supports the Jewish Hour, but it supports programs like the Eparsha and the Uparsha and Jewish Ferndale and the Michigan Kosher Supervisors and Judaism throughout the Detroit area, the greater Detroit area. So, and hopefully with the internet establishment throughout the world. So go to Jewish Ferndale. No, you can go to Jewish Ferndale too, but we have a website there too. But go to the rabbifinman.com. And go to the donations page. It's all safe, secure through PayPal. And you can make it a monthly donation if that's what you prefer. Yeah, I respect budgets, especially now with what's going on with people and job precariousness and et cetera. So you can make it a monthly donation. That's all, and it's automatic, and it's all very safe and secure. Don't like internet giving? Fine. Send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour. 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. The story happens somewhere in the 1840s. There was a disciple of the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was under the Semach Tzedek, who got a job. Actually, he bought a concession in the Kherson region, which is somewhere located in the Pale of Settlement, which, if you don't know what that means, it's many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. As a timber merchant, and this is very lucrative. And the way that they harvested timber in Russia was that during the winter months, after all the leaves had dropped, they would go into the forest and they would start cutting down trees, and these were forests. And they would wait for the snow to fall because they could then slide these huge trees onto the snow and take them to the river. And then when it would start to be spring and the river would fall, they would tie these trees together in rafts and they would float them down the river. And this was the way things were done. And people who were in charge of these concessions did very well. So there was one person, he's not named in this story. He found himself... He found himself in this remote area where there was a synagogue. And the synagogue, the people, since it was the middle of Russia, what are you going to do? There's no television. There's nothing to do. There's no bars to go to even for Jews. So there was a shul. And afterwards, people would sit around and they would learn. They would learn in pairs. They'd learn in small groups. Some people would learn by themselves. So this disciple of the Tzemach Tzedek, let's call him Chaim because we know their name, he was learning by himself. And in the synagogue, there was also another person, an older gentleman, a venerable sage, who learned by himself because nobody in the synagogue was of his level to learn with him. So he sees this new guy come in, this Chaim, and he starts talking to him about learning. He decides, listen, would you like to learn together? And they started learning together, and they were both very happy with it. One day, this other guy, the old guy, we'll call him Chaim, and the old guy. Olga comes in, he's very despondent. So Chaim asks him, what's the problem? He said he's been reading philosophy books, Jewish philosophy books. Theology and metaphysics and this type of stuff. And he's got all kinds of bothersome questions. And so Chaim says, well, tell me what's the problem. So he told him what the problem was, and Chaim explained to him, according to Hasidic philosophy, what the answer was, and this man was delighted. And they spent the whole time learning together, and at that point, the old man would introduce a philosophical question as part of their learning, and Chaim would answer it. Comes now, Passover time, it's the springtime, Chaim wants to go home. And he tells his partner, thank you very much, and maybe I'll be back, we'll pick it up after the summer when things get cold again. And the old guy started to cry. He says, what are you crying about? He says, well, I love my learning, but who's going to be the one who answers my questions? So he said to him, simple, go to Lubavitcher Rebbe. It was the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. Go to Lubavitch in Lubavitch. So Chaim went home, and for Shavuos, which was the holiday which we just celebrated, he found himself in Lubavitch. And he ran to the old man. And the old man said to him, I followed your advice. I went to the Rebbe, and what did he say? I told him, I have these problems. So the Rebbe looked at me and said, you learn a lot of Talmud, and you learn all the arguments between Abaye and Rabbah, who are mentioned throughout the length and breadth of the Talmud, two great rabbis. They don't have such problems. Why should you have problems? And he said, with that, all my questions were answered. That's going to do it. We hope you had an opportunity to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.